playback on RT Radio 1. Sponsored by the all-new Irish Times Weekend. With new writers like Marion Keyes and Sean Moncrief, your weekend's in good hands. Playback on RT Radio 1. Sponsored by the Irish Times Weekend Edition. Your weekend's in good hands with our sumptuous food features, intrepid travel stories and engrossing sports coverage.
So, this sound burst out of the radio last Saturday. Vivaldi on George Hamilton's programme on Lyric FM. It's incredible to think that this tight energy is produced purely with acoustic instruments.
Hear the roar of the crowd.
It chimed well with the energy coming out of the radio later in the day during Saturday Sport.
And the sense of anticipation here as the horses walk in a huge crowd.
The English Grand National at Aintree, of course. Last year's winner, Tiger Roll, was not behaving promisingly at the start.
Davey Russell just on screen. He's keeping his own counsel. Tiger Roll just messing around a little bit down at the start there. He's got his feet out the irons, and one of his stable mates has just come to give him a little lead in there. So, old Tiger, he's having a little think about things.
That is actually one of the other jockeys has tried to come to help Davey Russell.
But then, as the race progressed, that all changed in style. We all expect a post-race interview, and Gordon Elliott gloriously failed in that.
Cross the line in celebration. What is that like, Gordon?
I don't get upset too very often, but listen, everyone loves them. It's the people's horses. I can't believe it.
And even specialer this time round.
But jockey Davey Russell went one better. He replaced the usual post-race interview with a list of dedications.
How easy was it to guide him round there today?
I don't know. I must say hello to Finn and Lily as well. Finn thinks he owns Tiger Roll, so he's at home now. And he dead at home, and Dad came over this year. There's a guy at home, Kieran O'Connor from Mahada, and he's going through an enormous battle of his life. And just to let him know that we're thinking of him, he played football for Cork, and he gave his life to sport, and he's a real fan of mine, and this one's for Kieran.
The sports panel on Today with Sean O'Rourke filled us in.
Davey mentioned his dad. Davey lost his mum last year and his dad couldn't come over to the race and got over this time, having booked his flights quite late and paid through the nose for them, but he got there, so that was lovely. I think that Gordon Elliott lose his uncle quite recently, so there was so much emotion
and
around
the people who look after the horse in the stable got a good mention too.
Oh, completely, yeah. The woman who looks after the horse was like, you know, she's in tears.
Like, it got such an amazing reaction for him to mention his friend Kieran O'Connor, who's suffering cancer at the moment.
I think Cork
people, they really appreciated him having the presence of mind to mention him and to bring him up. And I think because of that, it's become a really special moment in Irish sport as well.
Marie Crowe and Owen McDevitt on Today with Sean O'Rourke. And after his post-race interview, Davey Russell went to the weigh room and phoned his wife.
We were like two teenagers talking. I said, like, we didn't know what to say to each other. You know, we have four small children, and you know, Dave comes through the door after a good day's racing, a bad day's racing, and it's all about family, it's all about the children, you know, and we're delighted. And he's delighted.
Edel Russell and baby Liam speaking to Dave Keane at the get together to welcome Tiger Roll back to Summerhill, County Meath. That was on Morning Ireland on Monday morning on Radio 1. And later that day on Game On 2FM, Hugh Cahill and his guests were already toying with a suggestion.
Graham in Cork says, surely the question is whether a horse can win the RT Sports Personality of the Year. To be honest, he is more of a personality than some recent winners of the award. Make it from Dublin's text in. Giving Sports Personality of the Year to Tiger Roll would be worse than sending Dustin to the Eurovision. And how would they get him into the lift? Greg Allen is on the line from Augusta. Hey, Greg.
Hey, y'all. Good luck doing that interview with the Sports Personality of the Year that is Tiger Roll.
I tell you, Dara and Joanna have to work it out for them that night.
Golf correspondent Greg Allen. Greg also spoke about that other sporting victory over the weekend, that of Cavan golfer Leona Maguire in the US.
Everything is happening steadily with Leona, and now we see her as a tournament winner in a professional event less than a year after turning pro. Everything is just going in the right direction for Leona, and I think we're looking at a player who's going to be a good LPGA Tour player in the next coming 2 to 3 years.
Greg is in Augusta this weekend at the US Masters Golf. It has him awestruck, but in philosophical mood too.
It never gets old. It's 20 years since I came here first. You know, it's not easy to kind of just say my jaw hit the floor, but it did, and it still does. You know, it's just,
really?
It's like nothing you ever experienced, not an Olympic Games, not a World Cup. I don't know what it is about this place. I suppose it's like this oasis of, you know, near perfection in terms of how it's presented. Mind you, you know, it's unnaturally perfect. You know, this is not how landscape really is anywhere else. The amount of manipulation of the land here over the years to make it what it is extraordinary.
Greg Allen from Game On and 2FM. If musician John Prine played golf, you can be sure he'd have it in his new song, as played by Brian Lally on Country Time. Although for Brian, he's not John Prine, he's
the mighty John Prine. This is from his new album, and the track is called When I Get to Heaven.
When I get to heaven, I'm going to shake God's hand, thank him for more blessings than one man can stand. Then I'm going to get a guitar and start a rock and roll band. Check into a swell hotel. Ain't the afterlife grand? And then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm going to kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl, cause this old man is going to town. Then as God is my witness, I'm getting back into show business. I'm going to open up a nightclub called the Tree of Forgiveness and forgive everybody ever done me any harm. Why, I might even invite a few choice critics, those syphilitic parasitics. Buy them a pint of Smithix and smother them with my charm. Cause then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm
going to kiss. When I Get to Heaven by John Prine on Country Time with Brian Lally. Heaven on earth for some people is winning the lotto. All very well, but in this age of electronic everything, you still have to get your paper ticket to lottery headquarters in Dublin.
We had a guy who came into us and he had a black ticket, and he said, listen, I know you won't believe this, but these are the winning numbers. I always play these numbers.
Dermot Griffin, the head of the National Lottery, is retiring, and he came in to talk to Sean O'Rourke about the messy side of the business.
What happened to him was the ticket came out of the wash and the ticket was just wet. But he tried to dry the ticket by using an iron, so he ironed the ticket. But because the numbers are burnt onto the ticket, when you put an iron on our tickets, it turns it black, so you couldn't see the numbers. But we had a way of checking from a security point of view that was the genuine ticket.
He was a lucky man that the ticket was intact instead of just being a few clumps of mush.
Yeah, I suppose the strangest one we've come across is a guy who came into us and he was wearing a boot and a shoe, and he took off his shoe, he took off his sock. Inside the sock there was a piece of tin foil. And he opened out the tin foil and he took out the ticket. So we said to him, well, why did you put the tin foil around the ticket? And he said, well, if the house had been burnt down during the night, at least the ticket would have been saved.
Oddly, tin foil came up again on Today with Sean O'Rourke when Paddy O'Gorman spoke to shoplifters.
I would have thought these days with all the CCTV and the boxes.
Ah, well, you can knock tinfoil around them. The tinfoil stops them going off. If you went in with sheets, tinfoil, all they're doing is wrapping it just like the bug is there to ram the tinfoil around that, and that's stopping it going off.
And then that
or else use a bag with a load of sheets of tinfoil wrapped around it.
Right.
And that'll do.
But Paddy wasn't there to learn about the tricks of the shoplifting trade. He was outside Dublin District Court.
Shoplifting is so hard now with me, with a 2-year suspended sentence. If I even caught robbing a chewing gum, I'd go in for 6 months. So there's no point in even trying. But I'm trying to keep myself as good as I can. But sometimes you just, especially in a hostel, you just give up. And I go up down, get me methadone. I should have got it before I went to court, just in case. But
and will you stay off the heroin?
If I have money, no.
Yeah, that wasn't the answer I was expecting.
Or hoping for.
And do you know how, Sean, you said, I wonder how is the 22-year-old? I actually didn't ask her that, but it's quite striking. Like many people, she's a second-generation drug addict, and she said the worst thing ever happened was when she had wonderful foster parents, but once she was old enough, she left them and went down the wrong road. And like so many people you meet at that court, she's staying in a hostel. There's people come out rifling through the litter bin for cigarette butts. You see that continuously. And some people are too intoxicated with drink or possibly drugs to be interviewed. You know? So all of these people who were up before the court are homeless.
Paddy O'Gorman on Today with Sean O'Rourke. Housing policy featured in an anniversary piece on Drive Time this week. It was the 10th anniversary of the shooting dead in Limerick of Roy Collins. His father spoke about the changes in the city in the 10 years since.
I remember a time when if an 18-year-old came home and told you they were going into town to a nightclub, parents were kind of so upset and worried about them, and you're up all night waving them. And that has changed now. Like, I mean, Limerick is just, it's a safe place now towards what it was.
Steve Collins.
There's a vibrancy there. I think there's a sense of safety and security.
Mary Wilson also spoke to sociologist Niamh Harrigan, who's working in Limerick.
That doesn't necessarily mean, Mary, that it's not a city without problems. You know, that a lot of the problems that we are seeing nationally linked to housing pressures and all the linked problems around social deprivation and food poverty, they're all still there. But I think what the difference is that essentially the problems in Limerick now are more aligned with what we see problems nationally, and the kind of more exceptional issues that were related to criminal justice are not marked in any way to the same extent. But I suppose the big fear would be that through cuts and all kinds of measures, that the soft measures, the diversion, the youth work stuff, that if that starts to fail, if we see higher levels of deprivation coming in at the childhood level, that that's what will feed problems down the line. And I think it's very important to note, Mary, that the origins of much of the crisis that emerged in Limerick around criminal justice during this period actually originates back in housing policy back in the 1980s with the £5,000 grant, which really substantially changed the social mix of these areas and made them very vulnerable. So housing policy can actually create very serious outcomes, negative outcomes for criminal justice policy within a 10-15 year period.
Sociologist Niamh Harrigan with Mary Wilson on Drive Time on Tuesday. And it's worth going back and listening to the full discussion from Tuesday's programme, either on the RTE radio player or the programme page on rte.ie. And that's the case with almost all of the excerpts we feature here. There is just too much good material on RTE audio services to do a week's worth justice on a programme like this. So treat it as a sort of signpost to programmes you may like to listen back to. And they're all there, online and on your phone. And one definitely worth following up is Liam Geraghty's report with barber Philip Connolly.
What I used to do was practice on my old teddy bear. No. I had a baldy teddy bear and I used to run the machine up.
Poor teddy bear is awful bad, he tore his head today.
Philip has been a barber in Glasthule in Dublin for the past 54 years and has witnessed some history in a most unusual way.
Uneconomic pits must stay open. They mustn't close. That is absurd.
When the miners' strike, or all the factory strikes in England, there was no money coming home to cut the kids' hair. Because the lads used to send the money home to the grannies. Mothers and fathers were working in England, and the grannies were looking after the kids here. There was no money coming in. It was tight now. And then things improved, you got busier. And then you could see all the bits where the grannies had been cutting it, and you had to fix it. But there was holes everywhere. A And the handle on the door you're looking at is there since 1937.
Wow.
And that's a coffin handle.
Really?
It is. Have a look. It's solid brass. That's a First War coffin handle that came out of the RDS when they used to store the bodies in the RDS during the war. Go away.
What? Please make an array.
You're grand, you're grand.
Philip Connolly with Liam Geraghty on The Business on Saturday.
That's Ollie Murs. He's announced two dates in Ireland. He's coming to Dublin.
Later that day, Neil Doherty was on the same station, Radio 1, with his music show, and proof yet again that it's in the requests from listeners that the changes in this country are often recorded matter-of-factly.
Kate and Graham have texted to say we are sitting in the car while it's charging at the services in Enfield. We're on our way back home to Roscommon after spending a lovely time with the grandkids Aoife and Luke and Billy. Son Gary and daughter-in-law.
2FM have been playing this song a lot over the past while.
What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me?
The artist is Billie Eilish.
When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
Come here.
Here's Stephen Byrne talking about her.
But she's now the youngest ever female solo act to top the UK album charts. She's only 17 years of age. When she was on this show last year, I think she was only 15, because it was even before her birthday. Her debut, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Straight number one, 48,000 sales in the UK. Congratulations, Billie Eilish. Are we surprised? We've been playing her to death here for the last year.
This particular Billie Eilish song is really bleak, and the video itself is pretty grim, but listen to the production.
Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
Billie Eilish, Bury a Friend.
Listen.
Keep you in the dark.
And if you like audio production with a little bit extra, the latest ad from McDonald's is worth listening to with headphones on.
Good morning, everyone. Following on from last week's lecture.
Jack!
Today we're going Billy, to take a closely
Billy. Yeah, Billy, Billy.
And when the
Peely Peely
in particular looking at the Roman Hellenistic tradition and how it became known as empire of
something to share with the class there, Daniel.
Peely Peely.
The latest McDonald's ad. Now, one form of radio that's hard to turn off if you start listening is a quickfire quiz.
Now let's play Panic. This is where we're
Panic on the Tracy Clifford show on 2FM is just such a quiz.
Okay, your letter today.
Tracy gives you a letter.
Is D.
And then she asks you a series of questions like...
Boy.
Dylan.
Girl.
Diane.
Household item. Activity. Animal. Famous person. Drink.
And so on. And on Monday...
It is time for us to play Panic, Hayley Dunn in Kildare.
Hayley's letter on Monday was...
F for Friday. Time starts now. Boy.
Okay, see how you get on with this. Hayley had to think of her answer straight away, but you have almost 2 minutes.
Playback on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Times Weekend Edition. Your weekend's in good hands with our sumptuous food features, intrepid travel stories and engrossing sports coverage.
Boy.
Fergal.
Girl.
Fran.
Famous person.
Freya Riding.
Car.
Ford.
Colour.
French Navy.
Drink.
Fruit juice.
Food.
Fries.
Job.
Farmer.
Place.
France.
School subject.
French.
Household item.
Frying pan.
Activity.
Clipping.
Duh, it's just after the buzzer. Hayley Dunn, you're on fire for a Monday.
From the Tracy Clifford show on 2FM. And maybe because it's spring, but there was a lot of romance on the air this week.
Morning, Maggie. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Listen, what a lovely story. What a romantic story to tell us.
For example, it's not often you might associate these names with torrid thoughts.
Lochray and Ballinasloe and Athlone and Tullamore.
But that's just what we're going through David's mind as he was going through these towns 40 years ago.
And there was one particular girl that I fancied, and I spent the weekend being a big aegis, trying to impress her, trying to make her laugh, because making girls laugh always seems to work. But,
oh, David, well done you. You knew how to get to her, yeah.
Maggie Doyle was sitting in for Ryan Tuberty, and they were talking about perfume. David said just musk on a young woman on the Galway to Dublin bus did it for him.
She always wore that perfume, just musk.
What happened? So listen, you get back to Dublin, you get off the rickety old bus, and what happens?
She lived just away from where I lived, and she asked me to call out to her. Mm. So I stole my brother's rally chopper bike.
Oh, and it gets better, it gets better.
Yeah, and cycled out to meet her. We were in her sitting room and looking through her record collection. And I came across a copy of Fairport Conventions, Who Knows Where the Time Goes.
How does that one go, David? I don't know it myself.
I'm not a singer, but it's like, across the evening sky, all the birds, they are leaving. But who knows where the time goes.
David, how old were you?
How old was I?
Yeah.
I was 16 or 17.
My goodness, you were a romantic boy, weren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, it has to be when you had red hair.
David talking to Maggie Doyle on The Tuberty Show. Over on Radio 1 Extra, Donal Ryan wrote about a slow-burning romance in his short story, Tommy and Moon.
Tommy was up on 80, I'd say, though he never spoke of his age. He was sprightly and lean, and he had most of his hair, and he kept it carefully combed. And he tried never to show me his pain, but I felt it. And he told me things in fits and starts across an ancient table in the kitchen of the cottage his grandfather built. He was an only child. His parents hadn't met before their wedding day. It had all been arranged as a favour. A man met his father the evening before he got married as he wheeled his bicycle up the long hill on his way home from town, a borrowed suit folded on his carrier. "You're getting wed tomorrow, I hear." "I am." "Who is she?" "I don't know. They call Sir Laurie. They stayed married for 50 years and died not a week apart. But that story did the rounds for generations. They call Sir Laurie, men would say, stretching out his mother's name. And they'd roar with laughter. Tommy would overhear the telling of the story the odd time. And his insides would burn and the backs of his eyes would prickle. And he'd picture his mother and father and their quiet fondness, their easy love for one another. Was it an accident, he wondered, how they loved one another? Or was it God put them together? Or whatever power is there behind the blueness of the sky and the blankness of eternity?
Donal Ryan from The Book Show, a BBC World Service programme on RTE Radio 1 Extra. Drama on 1 also dealt with romance. In The Lad from Lahey, Aggie is explaining how things were for the local Donegal women when she was in her early 20s during the Second World War.
"All of us were looking. Can't blame a girl for that. Not that we were mad to get a husband, no. Though that in itself was no bad thing. And not any old fella, no. He'd want to be kind of good looking. And that, of course, was the problem. There were plenty of fellas about, aye, plenty. But good looking.
What the hell is wrong with Patsy McGonigal?
My brother Arthur would ask.
Him?
Aye.
Are you right in the head? That fella?
Arthur and Patsy had been great since school. Patsy used to help me father about the farm at harvest time. A kind of handyman of a sorts. Sometimes I'd bring the food out to them in the field, soda files and tea. As soon as Patsy would see me at the gate, he'd down tools and a look would come across his face, a look like a collie dog. The tongue hanging out, that sort of look. I don't know whether it was the food or me. Me granny had no doubts.
Eat the bloody tires of a bread van, that Patsy McGonagall, I would surely no word of a lie.
Rosaline Linehan, Ruth McGill and Sam McGovern in the drama on 1, The Lad from Lahey, by Michael Hartnett. And then there was poor old Beethoven, composer of this, Für Elise.
He fell for the beautiful 17-year-old Therese Malgati von Rohrenbach zu Detza. In an excess of love, he wrote for her the beautiful Fiorelise, an ever-popular bagatelle. He borrowed a mirror, spent a great deal on shirts and neckcloths, combed his hair, and went to meet her. He was middle-aged and ugly, deaf now, ill and eccentric, and the girl's father, a nobleman, barred him from the door. But we will treasure forever the haunting Fiorelise.
John F. Dean from Sunday Miscellany. For most of this week, Liveline featured listeners telling disturbing stories about their birth experiences, and you can hear them all on the Liveline page on the Radio 1 section of rte.ie. But another Radio 1 programme featured childbirth from an unexpected angle. It was Six Dads, the series about fatherhood with new fathers. And for the programme, Colm O'Regan interviewed Dan.
That was my life, working on skyscrapers and looking down from 40 stories and, you know, standing at the very edge, peering over, and that's how I liked it.
Dan was a construction worker, but two things happened that caused him to choose a new career. One, he got laid off, and two, he saw his son being born. So Dan decided to become a midwife.
Each time it's a marvel. Each time it's unique and impressive and way more exhilarating than one person should have to get used to, but a lot of times it's sublime.
Dan accepts that it might be seen as a drawback that, as a man, he can never empathise with the women in his care. He can never experience childbirth.
Because I can never experience it, I think it helps build more trust because I can never know 100% what they're going through, I can't offer judgment on it at all. So, you know, whereas maybe a mother of, you know, two or three children who's a midwife and helping another mother who's in labor might say, oh, you'll be fine. Sure, it was nothing like my last two or whatever. Like, you know, maybe for this particular woman in labor, it's not very helpful to hear that her experiences are common or anything like that. Whereas with me, every single time I see a woman in labor, they're my hero.
What do you think you can offer to a father who is in the delivery suite?
I would find that men in some hospitals, we'll say, are marginalized, almost fully marginalized. Yes, they're allowed in, but would they just keep quiet and sit in the corner and mind their own business while we get this important business of childbirth done our way? Like, they're completely divorced from the fact that this other person in the room, this fella, has just as much to gain or lose on this day as the mother. And the two of them are the only two people that have to live with the results of what happens on that day the rest of their lives.
Dan with Colm O'Regan on Six Dads on Radio 1.
This poem is called Untitled, and it's called that because it's about my boyfriend, who wasn't my boyfriend at the time. We had what he called a casual relationship, which is really funny.
And what did you call it?
I called it a relationship, but you know, right, okay. It was one of those
you'd
kind
no adjective.
Of things. No. Your arms move soft and sleek and out of time. You take my hand in yours, so now your rhythm becomes mine. No rhyme or reason really, but it's easy to sway to hefty hip-hop beats when your feet are floating. Inches off the ground, the sound of crime fades to white noise. The boys have their tops off and they're wrecking my shoes, crystal clean and white, before this scene of sweaty, stuffy, sticky, shite. But still you're kitted out in stripes, horizontal I think, but it's hazy. We leave a no goodbyes right before it gets too crazy. Lazy lips linger longer on mine than they would if it were, as we say, casual. But we go about the night non-committal as per usual, as understood. There's no need for getting real because what we have is good, or good enough. The wind is rough, but your hand is soft in mine. I squeeze a heart three times, a secret silent sign of something I'm still too sober to say. A story for another day.
Spoken word artist Natalia O'Flaherty on Arena. She explained she was a bit hoarse because she had been holding workshops in a school earlier that day. She had two groups of students and two very different reactions to poetry from them. Younger students of 12 and 13 and older students of 15 and 16.
The older students were completely, they were just sitting there like dead-eyed for half the thing. And every so often.
So had they been kind of worn down, do you think?
I think so. It was a Monday morning, in all fairness to them, and it was like
we'd all be a bit dead on a Monday morning,
But I worked with them first, and I was kind of like, oh God, like I picked a bad time to do this because I'm tired, everyone's tired. And then there was obviously some really lively people. There was one girl in particular, Ella, who just, every time I said anything, her hand was straight up. And I was like, does anyone except Ella have anything to say? Because she was really, really getting into it. But the contrast between them and the younger students, the students doing the new junior cycle, I couldn't stop them talking. That's why my voice is like this now, because I said to them, I thought they were going to be shy after having the first class. And I was like, nobody put their hand up, just shout at me. And they shouted at me. And they're really, really alive and well and really tuned in. And I asked them, what can you write a poem about? And the whole class just screamed, anything. And I was like,
They said that directly
to me. And I was like, I might as well leave. That's what I was trying to teach you. You know what I mean?
That's the whole business of my workshop.
And I was like, well, I have no place here.
Spoken word artist Natalia O'Flaherty on Arena, the arts programme on Radio 1.
Hello and welcome to Deep Cleanse with the Skin Nerd. I am Jennifer Rock, and in this podcast series, I'll be talking
RTE about has published a new podcast this week. It's called Skin Nerd and is about, believe it or not, skin.
I think, though, an awful lot of people will spend crazy money on clothing. Mm-hmm. So you'll spend, I don't know, whatever, €50 on a top and maybe €100 on a pair of jeans and whatever on your shoes. And then you won't wear that outfit again because, oh my gosh, you've had it on the gram.
It's on the gram.
No, but, and people really are fine with spending that much money on clothing or different bits.
In this episode, Jennifer Rock talks to Grania.
What did you call the spot that I can see on your beautiful little nose?
Oh, Jennifer.
Did you give him a name?
Eugene.
Eugene's in the house.
Eugene is in the feckin' house. And I swear to God, like even Steve, Steve. Did I mention Steve, my boyfriend Steve? I have a boyfriend. So even he, like the other day, said, Jesus, what happened to your face?
And oh, I was that's just mean.
I was like, Steve. And he was like, I'm sorry. Just like, God, are you all right? Like, I was like, it's just a spot. And
for
I went at it.
You can't see it. It is a slightly bulbous little spot.
You should have seen it yesterday.
Was it large or like, large?
It was
Did
so
it have
large.
Its own passport?
It's throbbing. It has a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And I kept squeezing it. And then I always,
Grania.
I know when I tell my clients, don't pick your face,
well,
don't
why
poke
do you
your
do
face.
It?
Respect your skin as an organ.
But that's not okay for you, but I'm going to like a mom thing to do. Do as I say, not as I do.
But I feel like I have the authority because I'm like a skin person that I know best. I'm totally fine to squeeze it. And then I hurt my little face.
From Skin Nerd, the new RTE podcast published this week and available on the usual platforms. You can imagine the country girls listening to Skin Nerd. The book of the same title by Edna O'Brien is the book on one this week, and noses came into that too.
She was sitting on an empty porter barrel outside the door, swinging her legs. Your dress will get all pink paint from that barrel, I said. It's a pink dress, you idiot. I'm going home with you. I might feck a few rings. She coveted Mama's rings and was always fitting them on when she came upstairs in our house. No! You're not, I said firmly. My voice was shaky. Yes, I am. I was breathing so nervously that the wings of my nose got wide. My nose is getting wider. Will it go back again to normal? I asked. Your nose is always wide. You've a nose like a bloody petrol pump.
Hilary O'Shaughnessy reading Country Girls from the Book on One in Late Date on Radio 1. This is from The Rolling Wave with Aoife Ní Cormac. It's Niall Vallely playing his concerto for concertina and orchestra with the RTE National Symphony Orchestra.
You know, the sort of classical conception of a concerto, it's almost like a kind of a struggle between a soloist and an orchestra. Concertina, you know, it's not a quiet instrument, but there's something small about it, and I didn't want to try and make the concertina be bigger. I suppose what I concentrated on a lot was trying to find little relationships between the concertina and different parts of the orchestra.
Thank you. From The Rolling Wave, Niall Vallely and the RTE National Symphony Orchestra. That was on Radio 1 on Sunday, or as journalist Peter Maguire calls it,
Double Saturday.
Peter was in talking to Ray Darcy about working a 4 rather than a 5 day week. To help him transition, he has new names for the weekdays.
So you'd have Saturday stays as Saturday, Sunday becomes Double Saturday, Monday is Sunday, and Tuesday is Double Monday. And then you're into Wednesday and you're on the home stretch.
Right. Okay. If Ray Darcy and his team had only come in one day this week, Tuesday, they would have done a good week's work.
Now, cue music.
Yay. The programme had the very young, the very old and the very brave.
Oh, God, can you hear the happiness in my voice? I'm not going to have to drag her on the plane.
Yeah.
That's Jen McGee, whose 4-year-old daughter lost her soft toy, Rafi, and she was refusing to fly back to Dubai unless she had it.
Enter Zeeland Sass. Good afternoon, Zeeland.
Hi, how are you, Ray? How's it going?
Thanks for taking our call. So where do you come into the story?
Well, the whole story started up, I believe.
One of Ray's listeners got in touch to say his daughter had found Jen's daughter's toy.
She did want to say thanks to you, Ray. Would that be okay?
Oh, that's fine.
She just said a little thank you to you. Hold on 1 second now. She's just here.
This is Amelia, age 4.
Okay, Amelia, say hi to Ray.
Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Ray.
Have you got Rafi back?
Yes.
Did you give him a big hug?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Is he your favourite?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's so special about him? Why do you like him so much?
Because I like to suck him.
Yeah.
Amelia, with Ray. She's 4. At the other end of the age scale, 91 years older than Amelia, is Cyril Galbraith, a Dublin bell ringer.
And Cyril, what was it about the bell ringing that attracted you?
Well, I suppose, you know, at that time, it was before the war, there were no cars on the road, there was no television, no iPads or anything like that. And you're looking for something to do.
What's more important in bell ringing, a musical ear or rhythm?
Rhythm.
Oh,
rhythm,
right.
Really.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Bell ringing is like riding a bicycle. It's all balance. Because when we ring the bell, the mouth of the bell is upright. And when we pull it on the rope, it goes to 360 degrees on an axle. It goes to 360 degrees one way, and then you pull it and it goes 360 degrees back the other way.
Okay.
So it's getting it on the balance of the whole thing.
Cyril was awarded a cup for his services by the Lord Mayor of Dublin.
Listen, enjoy the reception tonight, and congratulations on getting your own cup.
Thank you very much.
Lovely talk.
Are you Ray?
I am Ray, yes.
Oh, Ray, nice to talk to you.
Yeah. Okay, Cyril.
Okay,
good luck
you
tonight.
For the
call. See you now. Bye. Bye. Okay.
And then Ray spoke to Nigel Owens, the International Rugby Union referee. He was in Dublin to launch an LGBT inclusive rugby tournament, the Union Cup. Nigel himself is a gay man, something he kept secret for years. And keeping a secret like that, he says, affected his refereeing. At one stage, he was dropped from a series of internationals because the referee manager thought his performances during the previous games weren't good enough.
And I knew they weren't good enough because I wasn't happy within myself. I was still worrying, you know, about people being scared.
Well,
being
found out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and it was affecting my life and my performance as a referee.
And how did you think you were going to be found out?
Well, you think you'd get found out if I was, you know, I remember going on a date with one guy one time, and while I was sitting in the Pizza Hut in Swansea, Dwayne Peel walked in, who lives, you know, ex-Welsh international, lived up the road from me, and his girlfriend at the time, Jessica, who's his wife now, and they walked into to Pizza Hut. And I, oh my God, if they see me here with this guy, they're going to guess something. So I told him, look, you've got to go to the toilet. So he went to the toilet and hid. The pizzas came then to the table while I was chatting to Dwayne, and there were 2 12-inch pizzas, and he must have been looking, who's the other pizza for? Then he said, and I said, oh, just a mate. So he stayed in the toilet. I went to the toilet and said, look, you can't come back to the table. You've got to go out. I'll meet you outside. And I made an excuse and sort of went, and that was the end of that date. Yeah. And he went downhill from there.
Nigel Owens, the rugby referee with Ray Darcy on Tuesday, a man with something to say and able to say it in an engaging way. Similarly, Neil Tuberty, who was in with Sean O'Rourke. He's a neurologist who's written a book about his work.
You watch people and how they walk, how they're dressed. You see how quickly they get up, how quickly they take off their coats, or if they're all calm and casual. So you read all these signs. So typical example would be someone with Parkinson's, and usually can pick that up by the time they actually sit down because of the various signs that I'd be looking for. And not to sound, oh, gosh, you're really good at this, but it's quite easy when you're doing the same thing every day for 25 years.
Tell me about toes and what they can tell you.
Well, I've got a bit of a hard time for some patients when they come in with a headache and I start scratching at their feet and they go, oh, my God, he's got some sort of foot fetish. I don't. But basically, when we're born and you scratch a baby's toe, the big toe will go up for the first year of their life. After a year or so, they lay down the nervous system like cables and whatever else, and you scratch their toe or our toes after a year, their toe goes down. But when the nervous system may fall apart a little bit later on in life, you scratch the toe and it goes back up or goes back to the baby state. So it's one of the most important signs in neurology called the Babinski sign.
You better explain, because I mentioned it, people will be curious, hair straighteners.
Well, as you can see, it's not something I trouble myself with, but I didn't know what they were until a young girl came in to me and said that she got one for Christmas, a GHD, a good hair day. Anyway, some contraption that straightens her hair. But she had fantastic hair, but she could only do one side when she was going out because the other side, her arms would tire. And so she'd do one side, have straight hair, and she said, my brother starts calling me Sideshow Bob because she only had one side of her head was all curly and the other side was all straight. And in essence, what was wrong with her was that she had a little extra rib, and as a result, when she put her hands above her head, she trapped the nerves and the blood supply, and her arm would tire, so then it would have to relax. So a very simple procedure fixed it. But it was an amazing thing for me to say. She was saying, oh, Dr. Tubberty, you don't know what a GHD is, and I didn't, actually. And so it's fabulous for me to learn from people all the time, not just something as trivial as a GHD, but just about their lives and what they're doing and the influences they are and then how that influences their health.
Neurologist and now writer Neil Tubberty with Sean O'Rourke.
Playback on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Times Weekend Edition. Your weekend's in good hands with our sumptuous food features, intrepid travel stories and engrossing sports coverage.
Welcome back. A bit of religion. The Sikh community in Ireland were celebrating in Dublin.
Ireland's only Sikh temple is at 78 Serpentine Avenue in Sandymount.
Louise Denver was there for the leap of faith.
Almost 2,000 people will gather here for a parade through the local area.
This is your first time attending the parade here in Sandymount.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great feeling. Like, I was very excited about it, you know, like waiting for it eagerly, you know. So let's see like how it goes today.
From the Sikh celebrations in Dublin on Radio 1's The Leap of Faith. For young practitioners of the Catholic faith, this time of year is part of their preparations for Holy Communion. The prayers, the readings, the meanings and the clothes. Now, you may be aware of the TV show Say Yes to the Dress. It's where a bride-to-be goes into a dress shop with a group of family and friends. She stands up on a podium in a room with mirrors on the walls and tries on a series of wedding dresses. While that may be fine for an adult woman buying a wedding dress, there's no way you'd do it with a child buying a Holy Communion dress.
Well, I'm taking her out of school early.
Yeah. Here's Irene with Ryan Tubberty.
It's a yes to the dress. They're up on the podium. The room is walled in mirrors so that they can see the dress from every angle and turn around. And my daughter would not expect anything less.
This is what she wants. So how many dresses will she try on?
Well, we tried them on already. That was about 3 weeks ago. Yeah. 16 dresses in total.
What?
Yes.
I don't do shock very often, and I'm not being fake shocked. She tried 16 communion dresses on.
16 communion dresses, and we still only got the one that was second from the top of the list because one at the top of the list was ridiculously priced.
And how much was the one she chose?
The one that we got was 350. The one that she chose was 600.
Irene with Ryan Tubberty. And what a week for feeling bad about the state of management culture in this country. We're really poor at governance and oversight, it seems.
The policing authority has strongly criticised the work of the Garda Síochána.
There were the guards.
Repeatedly over-promising but under-delivering. In a report published today.
The PwC on building the National Children's Hospital has.
Then the report about the Children's Hospital overspend.
The independent review found failings around planning and budgeting and criticised the hospital board.
Obviously, a lot of lessons have to be learned from this. Structures have to be put in place to make sure that this will not happen again.
Pat Deering, Fine Gael TD, was sent out by the government to chat to Katie Hannan on late debate about it.
Matter of fact and common sense, it is astonishing that we have to pay somebody 450,000.
€100,000 to write them down in a report, that they should be a more questioning scrutiny within the department in relation to these issues.
Yeah, but if we were to get the department...
Really, do we need a consultant firm to get them to pay them €450,000 to get us...
Yeah, but if we were to get somebody from the department to do it, the criticism would be, sure, it's not independent. It's, you know, it's the department...
The point is that these very expensive consultants felt they need to actually put this in writing as a recommendation, that it was so not being followed beforehand.
Yeah, you know, but I think it's an independent report.
What I'm saying is that, is it not embarrassing, a massive embarrassment for the government, that this is the level that these consultants feel must be brought.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's nothing really new in the whole report from what I can see so far. Nothing really new.
On legal advice, I'm precluded from making any further comments at this hearing in relation to the finances of the association or my former...
And then there was the FAI appearing before the Oireachtas Committee.
I am not in a position to answer any such questions here at this time.
I would have thought that anybody would have been glad to be handed the opportunity to put the record straight. But you haven't taken up that opportunity, Mr. Delaney.
I know what your
is there
comments.
A reason why you haven't?
No, I know what your comments, Deputy Minister.
But is there a reason you haven't?
No, I've read my statement, as you know.
This produced a bit of a topsy-turvy world of broadcasting. You had current affairs presenters giving sports allusions a run out.
Today, how John Delaney evaded the tough tackles at a Oireachtas Committee hearing.
Nil-nil after 7 hours and several questions. That was the result of yesterday.
There has been a recent Supreme Court ruling in the Angela Kearns case.
Yes, that's right. While the sports show Game On and 2FM was doing an Oireachtas report.
The Public Accounts Committee went significantly outside their remit. So the first hour today was legal advice for the committee.
And just before Game On went to a commercial break, they played a bit of Oliver Callan.
Could I request a comfort break?
Of course, yes, by all means. You want to adjourn ourselves, everybody, is it?
No, yeah.
Just yourself, of course.
No, wait, sorry, that actually happened. This is Oliver Callan.
Chairman, I just need to go to the jacks. Okay, you go to the toilet there. And in the meantime, let's hear explanations for the mysterious loan from the other FAI gobshites. HR?
Chairman, should I only start last week?
Accounts.
The dog ate the accounts.
Board member.
My granny's funeral was that day.
Very good.
Oh, great relief.
Welcome back, Mr. Delaney.
Yeah.
Deputy Breed Coppinger, Anti-People Solidarity.
Oh, no.
Mr. Delaney, the Ordinary Decent Skins Grassroots League of Ireland Jumpers for Goalposts Brown Sauce Hazlitt Sandwiches Brigade feel let down by the Prawn Sandwich Corporate Hospitality Fat Cat Black Hat.
I can't answer that on legal advice.
It's a disgrace.
That's enough, Deputy Coppinger.
From Callan's Kicks. And while the whole John Delaney staying stum before an Oireachtas committee was well covered and with some tittering, by the end of the week, it appeared that we, the voters, had some responsibility because of the way we voted in the 2011 referendum on Oireachtas committees. And is this the best spin of the week? The Israeli aerospace industry launched a moon mission this week. This is what their spokesperson said about it.
We are the 7th country to orbit the moon and the 4th to reach the moon's surface.
All very impressive. Unless you heard what Susan Jackson said just beforehand about what actually happened when the spaceship got to the moon's surface.
The Israeli spacecraft named Bereshit or Genesis crashed into the lunar surface after its main engine failed during its final descent.
And you didn't think we'd get to the end of a programme in these times without mentioning it.
Well, Brexit are going to start.
Ronan McAwee on Radio Na Gaeltachta came up with a bit of a Brexit shocker.
Well, vegan options, I guess vegetarian options.
Vegan options are going to sugar sandwich.
He was talking to Joe Cannon, the owner of an upmarket chipper near the border in Newton Cunningham, Donegal. Joe was chatting to Ronan about the menu. Pizza, salads... Sourdough. And then they got to the spuds for Joe's famous chips. That's right. Prati Sasana. English chips coming into Donegal may be affected by Brexit. Insert your own line here about what Dev might be doing in his grave. That's it for this week. Back again next weekend with the longer playback podcast at 4:30 on Friday afternoon. And by the way, my apologies for being late with that last week. I hit the wrong button. As well as the podcast, we also broadcast on Saturday morning on Radio 1 at 9:10. In the meantime, if you hear something you really liked on RTE's audio services that you think we should share, let us know by email to playback@rte.ie. Slán.
Playback on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by the Irish Times Weekend Edition. Your weekend's in good hands with our sumptuous food features, intrepid travel stories and engrossing sports coverage.